Amen. You may have your seats. Glory to God. This is week two of the hard sayings of Jesus. Maribel, what did you say when I told you the hard sayings? She's jet lagged. We'll blame the jet lag. You know that these things were not easily understood by the people around. You know, last week we spoke about that here it is, Jesus. He comes and he says, but that you may know that Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. People could not really understand exactly what Jesus was trying to tell them. And now, this week, it's going to be out of Mark 2:17. Who wants to get it? Mark 2:17. Marcos 2:17. Valerie, go ahead and get it. Wait up. You got to get the mic. You can't talk without the mic. You got to have the mic.
When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
So I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The Amplified Version says, who recognize their sins and humbly seek forgiveness. The ERV, I did not come to invite good people. I came to invite sinners. The Easy Reading Version says, some people know that they might have done wrong things. I'm asking those people to come to me for help. The Message translation says, I'm here to invite sin sick, not spiritually fit. First Timothy 1:15. Who wants to get that? 1 Timothy 1:15. Amen. So who wants to get 1 Timothy 1:15? Bea, okay, Luke 7:39, Mark 2:13-17, Jeremiah 17:9, Maribel, or John in the back, Psalms 51:17, Maribel. Luke 19:10. 2:13-17. Luke 19:10. All right. So 1 Timothy 1:15.
Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst.
What translation was that? NIV. The New King James says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So this was Paul saying to himself, if you look at, you know, many, many people come and Paul was of the strictest sect of the Pharisees. So he was a Pharisee. He studied and he was there and everything about him was there to be able to follow they thought that they were going to follow every single law. They were the abiding citizens. There's a a group of people there in many Islamic countries that are called the morality police. They go around and, oh, you messed up. Get him. Get him. He messed up. See, Paul says, when it comes to people who have sinned, listen, it's not, he said, listen, if anybody should not be qualified, it's me, because you have to look at who I am. Can I tell you, that's what we have to do to ourselves. We have to look at why Jesus, first of all, accepted you. Because we were not worthy of acceptance. Luke 7:39.
Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, who would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.
Imagine this. Here it is. She comes. All she wants to do is get close to Jesus. And then somebody comes up and says, do you realize who she is? Do you realize what she's done? Can I tell you, everybody can say something about, we can be in her shoes right now. How many know that? Do people realize what we've done? If Jesus were a prophet, he would surely know not to invite you and I to dinner, right? Because look at what we've done. That could easily be said of Eve, of every one of us. Jesus knew perfectly well who she was, and for that reason would not prevent her from paying such attention to him. Jesus, during his whole ministry and his life, he associated himself with common people. Isn't that amazing? That here it is, the high priest, who was considered to be the top realm. And then you had all the rest of, if you would say, the stepladder, every step. And they would only associate within themselves. Let me ask you right now, would you be able to be part of that group? Would that be you? See, Jesus associated himself not with those that thought they were well, but with those that knew that they needed help. See, a sinner, when we know that we've sinned, we recognize our own faults. We recognize our own need. We recognize that if it were not for the grace of God, where would we be today? Where would you and I be today? Mark 2:13-17.
Jesús salió otra vez junto al mar, y toda la gente venía a él, y él les enseñaba. Y pasando vio a Levi, hijo de Alfeo, sentado en el lugar de los tributos públicos, y le dijo, sígueme, y levantándose le siguió. Sucedió que estando Jesús sentado a la mesa en casa de Levi, muchos publicanos y pecadores estaban también sentados a la mesa con Jesús y sus discípulos, porque era muy muchos y le habían seguido. Y cuando los escribían de los fariseos le vieron comer como los pecadores y publicanos, decían a sus discípulos, ¿por qué come con los publicanos y pecadores? Al oírlo Jesús le dijo, los sanos no tienen necesidad de médico, sino los que están enfermos. No he venido para llamar a justos, sino a pecadores.
So Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus here, he calls Matthew, who was a despised tax collector. Can I tell you? If you look at what you've done, tax collectors were looked at worse. Because what a tax collector would do, folks, is he would come and they would be the ones that were doing the work for the enemy. They were the ones that came and said, if you don't pay me, this is what's going to happen. And they were it was their own people that were the enforcers for the Roman Empire. And that's why they were despised. And that's why they were there. See, Jesus, he eats at Levi's house with what society looked at as the worst of the worst. To the Jews, tax collectors, they were the ones that were despised the most. And here it is, Jesus. He's sitting there, and he's got nothing but people that are despised by all society. See, in the eyes of a Pharisee, they thought holiness meant being separated from sinners. Jesus thought otherwise. Jesus said, those that are well have no need for a physician. Let me ask you, do you go to the hospital when you feel well, or do you go to the hospital when you feel sick? Who goes to the hospital and spends thousands of dollars when you are well and there's nothing wrong with you? See, the Pharisees thought, if I can only separate myself from these people, see, they always categorize, isn't it funny how they categorize us as these people? Those people. Can I tell you? We have categories here in our church also. The Westsiders, the Eastsiders. The North Side, South Side. Why can't it just be one side? See, a sinner, folks, listen, a sinner recognizes who they are. And they know that without the grace of God, they would not be where they are. I say it many times over that if it wasn't for God's grace and God's mercy, I would not be here today. Not to go down deep into my story, my life, but it took, when we came to the United States in 1977, way before, there was only three people that are here in this place that were born before 1977, other than myself. It took me 9 days to cross the border. My dad brought us over. Listen, 9 days. I was not a big guy, but when I came after 9 days, I wasn't like weight wise, I wasn't big, but after the 9 days, I was almost unrecognizable. Having gone through all that we did, living on a side of town where there was all kinds of different just crimes, gunshots. We lived in the area of town. We lived around. Seems like we stayed around the same area of town until we decided to go on to the north side of town. But we lived in a park around the park, McNamara Park, that even the police at one point did not want to go in there. And that's where we lived our lives every day. The police would not go there because they knew that there was drugs, there was violence, and they were going to get not being well accepted. Ten, 11, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, we were walking right through that. There was muggings, there was violence. So when I tell you it's by grace that I'm still here, it's because I lived my life under the grace of God and I didn't even know it. See, Jesus teaches that where the Pharisees thought holiness was being separated from sinner, Jesus teaches you and I that holiness brings restoration to sinners. See, those who are well have no need of a physician. The well, those that think that they are well are those who believe that they are righteous already. Self-righteousness being, can I tell you, it brings spiritual blindness. Jeremiah 17:9, John.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Isn't it? We think we know who we are, right? And then you have that thought. And then the next thing that comes is, where did that thought come from? Can I tell you, it's within us already. That thought that you have, like, where did that come from? It's because the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? See, people who think that they are self-righteous or don't see their sins as being sins don't seek out Jesus to be their Savior. I'm good, Pastor. Can I tell you? There's things in every single one of us here, even these young kids, that we don't even know it's in there. They themselves, even as young as themselves, are going to have to grow up and seek Jesus for themselves. They cannot be saved because you're saved. They have to be saved because they need to be saved. See, those that are sick, the Bible says. Sick refers to as being spiritually broken. Psalms 51:17. Who did I give that to? Maribel? Thank you for volunteering.
The sacrifices are God, of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise.
Imagine that. It says a broken and contrite heart. Can I tell you? It's at the point of our lives that things are broken, that we finally need, or we finally come to the knowledge that it needs to be repaired. You know, there was a bridge that fell down, I believe it was a few years ago. Engineers went in and they looked at it and they said, it's just a few cracks. Just a few cracks in the bridge. It's not bad. But that crack began to spread. And they looked at it and said, it's still not bad until it cost people's lives. People were lost. If it would have been repaired at the first sign of the crack, who knows? But people looked at it and said, big structure, little crack, nothing bad. Don't fix it. It's too much to fix. They're broken. Can I tell you? There's cracks in our lives. There's cracks. Are we just going to ignore them? Or are we going to come to get them fixed? It says, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise, because that brokenness brought us to Christ. When you and I acknowledge that there is sin possibly creeping into our lives, to recognize it, that there's a problem, that's the first step, folks, of being restored or being healed. But how many know that just like that bridge, see, people were able to see it, folks. Can I tell you, people see that in us. They see it. You good? I'm good. Oh, yeah, right. Right? What do you mean you're good? I see the cracks. No, I'm good. I'm good. And right? But it starts out small, folks. And then it brings forth and people's lives are gone. Here, Jesus lets us know why he came into the world. Can I tell you, Jesus came for a purpose. Can I tell you, Jesus doesn't accept sin. But he invites people to repent from their sin. He calls you and I not to conform ourselves to sin, but to have our lives transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know, I heard it this morning on a radio. Every Sunday morning as I'm coming, there's a show called the Jesus Show. Has anybody ever, right? No? Well, you know, I just want to listen to something, so I just don't want it to be quiet. So I listened to it. But this morning, something caught my attention. I said, here it is, this guy. He says, a caller calls in, and it was a lady, and she said, is it okay for people to get tattoos or piercings? He went to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, I believe it's 19:28, where it says that you shall not have or tattoo yourself or engrave yourself. And then he made a statement and he said, if you want to do this, you can. It's okay if you want to do it because you can do it. The lady was trying to basically get a fine line. Listen, is it okay? Can I tell you? The word of God says that we shall not be like the world. So when the world goes out and gets all these piercings, tattoos, and all these, are you making yourself like Christ or like the world? Are you trying to be accepted or rejected? Because you are going to be accepted by one and rejected by the other, folks, in one way or another. Listen, tattoos are not going to disqualify you, but why go out and get them, folks? If you are already a new creation, you are supposed to be separated from the world, not be conformed and accepted by the world. I have tattoos. But when I gave my life to Christ, I recognized that that was not my life and the things that I needed to continue to live or get if I was going to be in Christ. So if you have them before Christ, but why get them after you accept Christ? Does that make sense? And this gentleman said, it's okay. I said, so who are we trying to be like? Are we trying to be more like Christ, or are we trying to be more like what the world says that we ought to be? Let me just finish, okay? Just hold that question. Write it down. You're going to forget it. See, Jesus does not accept sin, but he invites you and I. He calls us not to conform ourselves to sin, but to be transformed by the resurrection power that he has. Luke 19:10. Who did I give that to?
For the Son of Man has come to seek and save which was lost.
Isn't it amazing that this is the main reason why Jesus came into the world? The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. See, there's a misconception that people have that Jesus approves our sin, but Jesus never accepts sin. He invites you and I to change from the error of our ways. And instead of running to sin, he tells us to run away from sin. So go ahead, Valerie. What was the question you had? Wait, where's the mic?
Pretty loud, so I'm just kidding. No, so is like, let's say I go and I get a tattoo, right? Is that a form of rebellion, like people that do stuff like that?
So why would you do it after you gave yourself to Christ? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah, no, that's right. What I'm saying. Like, yeah. Like if someone were to go and do it, like, what is behind it? Is it is
so there's
that,
there's or? there's a part of their life that is not settled in Christ. I'm not settled with who I am in Christ. So let me change who I am. I'm going to show you, devil. Let me go snort this line. Shh. I'm going to show you that I'm not like these people over here. So let me go. You know what happens? It's I don't even know how to put it, but when people go from, okay, they stop smoking cigarettes, but then they go to vaping. What sense does that make? So you're held in from one bondage. That's bondage. You're in bondage. Wanting to do that, wanting to pierce and get, it's a bondage. So you go from one bondage. Well, I don't get pierces anymore, but now let me get all these tattoos. Well, I don't do all these tattoos, so let me just pierce myself all over. I don't smoke anymore, but I vape and I. So now you're trying to cover up the smell of your life. Right? Go ahead, Maribel.
I think kind of just to answer Valerie's question, it's a heart not fully surrendered to Christ, because when we are our desires of our there for Christ and to do the things of God. And so when we're still thinking of fleshly desires, there's a heart issue of surrender.
See, that's why I need my wife here. You can't leave no more. That's good. Why would you want to do what you do? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself, yes.
I feel like we still want in control what's going on in our life instead of just relying on God, because, like, sometimes.
Which is what?
Yeah. Self, I don't know.
Surrender, right?
Surrender, yes.
When you want to be control, when you want to be in control, you don't want to let go of that control. And because you don't want to let go, you want to call your own shots. So let me ask you three questions. And I want at least one person to answer it. Why do you think the Pharisees were offended when Jesus hung around sinners?
I think entitlement, I guess, why these people was coming to him instead of me, just me, I guess.
They had a religious spirit. John? What are, second question, what are some of the ways that Christians today could behave like Pharisees?
Visitor comes in and we don't want to shake their hands because, you know, they're not part of us. They're from the other place, or they're not saved yet, or so we can't talk to them. We can't converse with them because we might get their spirit on us.
Yeah. Can I tell you something, folks? You're already in the house. Doesn't mean that you already have made it, but you're at least inside the house. They don't even want to come into the house. They are scared to come into the house. And when people hear reject them and say, do they smell like weed? Right? Listen. See, Mark, you're laughing, right? Right? Do I smell that in you? Why would you come into the house of God smelling like that? Why don't you leave and come back when you don't smell like that? And listen, it took them everything to get them into the house of God. And now the Pharisees within said, get away from them. Kids, don't talk to them. Leave them in an island by themselves so they know how bad these people are. Right? You know, I was in Garland one time, and I knew that this guy was a homeless guy. And I seen within the group, he sat in a place, and he came all the way and sat over there by me. We were having a guest speaker. He sat over there by me. And can I tell you, everything within me wanted to say, can you please move? Because, but I didn't, and I accepted him. And I started talking to him. And can I tell you, it changed everything. The me wanted to say, let me get up and go to the back. Because every service, when a revival would come, I would sit here right in the front. And this guy sat right there, right by me. I said, oh, Jesus. But can I tell you what it did? Is it made him feel, he might have known who he was, but yet it made him feel invited. Can I tell you, folks, people are going to come in and they're going to be way different than us. Way, way different than us. Can they be made accepted, or are they going to be made rejected? Because that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees didn't accept you. They rejected you. Third question. Why is it hard for good people to see their need for Jesus? ¿La quieres responder? Porque es difícil de la gente buena que mire su necesidad de Jesucristo. Justin, why is it hard for good people to see their need for Jesus? Anybody? They don't think they need it because I'm well. Remember? For those that see that think they're well, don't have a need for a physician. So because they're good, why do I need Jesus? See, this morning, are we more focused on avoiding or helping people get closer to Christ? Do our attitudes towards people that come in, do we show them the grace, the mercy, and the love of Christ, or do we show them the Pharisee side in us and say, if he only knew who they were, he would not be around them? See, this morning, Jesus did not come for the righteous, But he came for sinners. Service at 11:00.